Hello? Hi. All right, we're going to get started now, if we could settle down. Welcome to our town hall on contra dance terminology. My name is Ben. I'm the FSGW dance chair. We have several board members present as well. I don't know where you are in the room, so when I say your name, just raise your hand. So Ingrid Gorman. I'm Ben, the dance chair. I'll introduce the board. We have some of the board members here. Ingrid Gorman, our vice president. Kim Gandy, incoming at-large and outgoing secretary. Will Strang, who's the incoming treasurer. Renee Brockfield, returning at-large. Neil Zimmerman, incoming secretary. And Jerry Blum, returning at-large. And also, Don Fahey, sorry. And Charlie Pilzer, our incoming president. Since you're here, you probably are aware of the topics that we're aiming to share our views on, but just to make sure we're on the same page, I'll say a couple words. First, let me very quickly outline what the current policy has been. So when we hire callers, they may choose whether they'll use gendered terms or non-gendered terms, although we made a commitment that there would be at least one dance per month that used non-gendered terms. If they choose gendered terms, they're restricted to ladies and gents and are to treat the words as role names, as if they did not indicate gender. For example, this means you can't interchange ladies-gents with men-women, boys-girls, and not using gendered pronouns during the calls as well. If a caller chooses to use non-gendered terms, there are a handful of options that have been used elsewhere in the country, which they may choose from. So Jets, Rubies, Bands, Bears, Larks, Ravens, and there are some others. Larks, Ravens has gained the most traction around the country so far, so this has always been the choice the callers have gone with at Glen Echo. So the rationale for this policy and for the move towards gender-free calling happening elsewhere in the country is a desire to be more inclusive. This means removing the built-in assumption of how someone will dance based on how they look, as well as not misgendering people who will not identify as the gender that they might appear to be. Although we have not requested them to do so over the past and more recently, more callers than we have expected have been choosing to use non-gendered terms, and some people have voiced concerns about the increasing use of this new terminology. While we have heard individually from various people, the aim for this discussion is for me and the dance community and the board to gain a more complete picture of the feelings and reactions that the dance community has surrounding these changes and whether there is openness to this change. In addition to myself, I hope that this discussion will give dancers in the community a better understanding of the views of their fellow dancers. No new policy decisions have been made, and I'm coming into this discussion with an open mind. I look forward to hearing the different perspectives that people present and also invite you to offer or suggest solutions that could bring us all together. Thank you for coming, and now I will turn over our meeting to our professional facilitator, Nanette Alvey.
All right, thank you, Ben. Let me just a quick announcement. I found a cell phone. If someone lost a cell phone, please let me know. Okay, it's been fun, thank you. Okay. I want to begin first by just saying that the goal of FSGW is to maintain a strong dance community, and of which the multiple benefits I do not have to remind you. This issue of terminology has created divisions, and we'd like to address these in order to continue to maintain and grow this fabulous community. So there have been perspectives expressed all throughout the continuum, from strongly for a change to neutral to strongly for keeping the status quo. So the purpose of this town hall is to listen to members' perspectives on the possible change of terminology from ladies and gents to non-gender terms, and to hear perspectives on the change of the term gypsies. After this meeting, all input, oral and in writing, will be reviewed and analyzed by the dance chair, and then he will then share his thoughts with the FSGW board. A survey was conducted, and I think some of you may have participated in that. However, the results were found to be truly not useful and possibly misleading, and I'll tell you a little bit of why that is. First of all, the possible responses, yes, no, or other, did not by any means incorporate all the various different perspectives that could be there. So it was a little bit skewed that way. It was a self-selected population and a very small representation. So we don't feel like it represents the community at large. The survey questions across surveys were not the same, so it's very difficult to compare one response to another. One survey had all yeses, and when everybody agrees on something, you know something's not right with the survey. And finally, we don't know if there were people who responded multiple times to the same survey. So given all of those, yes, data was collected, but it's not in a way that we feel that it's representative of the dance community. So thus it was felt that reaching out to the community and holding this town hall was really important to guide the dance chair in finding the path forward. So the purpose of tonight's town hall is to listen to members' perspectives on the possible change of terminology from ladies and gents to non-gendered terms, and to hear perspectives on the possible change of the term gypsies. What everyone loves about this dance community is it brings together people and shares joy. That's what we all want. No one wants to change this, but there's a difference in how we see moving this forward. So given the passions on both sides of the issue, I want to begin with a quote from Abraham Lincoln. "We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic chords of memory will swell when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature." So we live in an era where listening to each other has been superseded by talking at each other, drawing conclusions on assumptions and incomplete information, and thinking more of ourselves than the good of the community. We've all experienced that this is not an effective way to find consensus or agreement, and is more destructive than constructive. So I encourage each speaker to calmly express their thoughts and ideas so that everyone can listen intently and without judgment. Without judgment means listening not only for one's position, but also for one's values, underlying interests, and emotions. This is not an easy task, and it's one that we all, not only in this room, but in our lives, can master better. If we do not fully understand what is behind one's perspective, we will continue to consider only part of each other's perspective. And this will not allow us to find a common path to maintain the strong community that we've grown. So I urge all of us, speaker and listener, to find your better nature, the better angels of your nature, to be open to understanding, and that is the objective of the evening tonight. So for the process, both members and non-members have been invited to sign up to speak, and the order in which they will be speaking is your order in which they signed up. Some people were unable to attend tonight's meeting, and they provided input in writing. And that is available to us. There are a couple of copies here, but it's also online at fsgw.org. And this online access will remain open for both reading and additional thoughts until June 23rd, so another 2 weeks, to collect input and things after this meeting. This meeting is being recorded, and the recording will be available to everyone interested. So we have about 15... We have about 15 speakers. So the process is that everyone will have 2 minutes to speak, and we'll provide you with some warning. So Renee, sitting here so conveniently in the front, will show you.
I will be sitting right there in front of where you are sitting. When you start speaking, I'll be holding this to tell you you have 2 minutes. When 1 minute has elapsed, I'm not going to wave it or hold it up. I'm just going to sit here and hold it so that I'm not trying to distract you. When you have 30 seconds left, you will see that there are 30 seconds left, and then...
Thank you. All right. Subtle and firm. That's what I like. Okay. So at 2 minutes, I will ask you to finish up your thought and your idea. And yield to the next speaker. After all speakers have spoken, everyone will have a chance to speak for 1 minute in case they want to respond to something, if another idea came to them. And for that, we will ask you to line up. After everyone's spoken, we'll ask you to line up at the side, and we will go just by whoever's first in line. I will be very strict on the timing, and so I encourage you all to structure your presentations in the following manner. I wish to see FSGW adopt a policy of blank because blank. Okay? Your suggestions, your recommendations, and why you believe that. So rules of conduct and rules of engagement, I guess, is a way, I don't know. So only the designated speaker can speak. All others must listen with an open mind and or remain silent. Should one speaker say something with which you disagree, please note down your comment and use the 1 minute afterwards to respond. No accusations or personal attacks will be tolerated. This is a venue for discussing ideas and policies, not people. The speaker should focus only on their perspective and their proposed solution or experience. Should the conversation begin to focus on individuals, I will interrupt and ask the speaker to reformulate and or change their message. I will interrupt and ask, should this continue, I will ask the speaker to leave the room and return for the 1 minute at the end. If asked to leave the room, there will be some other FSGW folks there to talk with you to make sure that the idea that you have will be expressed. Should there be side discussions in the room which persist and which interfere with the hearing of the speaker, I will ask those responsible to be respectful of the speaker, and if needed, ask them to continue their conversation outside. Okay? So, with all of that, we are looking forward to a good exchange of ideas. So, we have our first speaker. Ingrid, who is the first speaker?
Too much glare.
Speaking to the mic.
One will do. Just near your mouth.
Ready? Hi, all. I'm Bill Rucker. I started mildly in favor of trying Lark Raven, but I'm now a staunch opponent. From my perspective, Lark Raven has no place in the adult dances that we do. There may be other approaches, but Lark Raven is clearly not it. So here are the 10 points. We'll see how far I get before I time out, how fast I can talk. First, Lark Raven has become so alienating at this point in our community that it has the completely reversed effect in some cases from what many of us had hoped it would do. Second, the best thing about Lark Raven, it's a step up from the well-intentioned but pretty bad Barren Bands. But bad is still bad. I find it a lot easier to switch roles when callers actually use men and women or ladies and gents. Lark Raven makes it much harder for me when I switch. In fact, Lark Raven makes it much harder for me to dance, period, to the extent that as a guy, even dancing as a Lark role, I find it so distracting and unpleasant that I stopped going to premier dances like Hash Dance and Contra Stock. After going to most of the fall dances, Sunday night dances, I won't be here pretty much for the rest of the month as a consequence, unless I have a beginner friend or out of town or visiting. Next, splitting our dances, an obvious solution universally advocated by parents, is not a good idea here. Briefly, it's even more confusing to beginners to switch back and forth. It also breaks the very important consistency guidelines for scheduling dances and further depressing attendance. Also, just because advanced dancers can deal with added overhead of Lark Raven doesn't mean they should have to. So, no advanced dances either. Please think back to your first dances and why you came. Does the approach of Lark Raven help or hurt in terms of keeping people to coming? The best known gay square dances primarily use boys and girls. Think about that one. Well, I guess that's it.
Can we
basically is that some people have advocated that we give callers pure freedom, do what you want, and in fact, some people have hidden behind that. And they're contractors, hardworking, underpaid, underappreciated, but still contractors. So as a group, we can say these are our community standards. Thank you very much.
I'm Linda Z. Booker. They asked me, am I a dancer? I've been a dancer for 68 years. The reason I do Contra is because I'm 7 years old, and it's the only thing my knees will let me do. But I love it, and I also love the swinging through the trees kind of thing, which is why I'm there. So the beginning is, I felt very sad when they took away the term gypsy. As somebody who's very, very, very loving of the Roma culture, Turkish dance, Bulgarian, all that ethnic stuff, to take that away, and to take away Carmen and other roles, it took the life out of the step. The right shoulder round gets the job done, but not with the same intensity. It took the art out of the step. So I've resigned myself to that, but I've never been happy with it. And I've heard other people say something like that, too. I go to Balkan Week, and I do singing with Roma students. So it's in no way for me to think that step is in any way denigrating of a culture. It's quite the reverse. And I miss it. And it doesn't matter how you do it if you use the word gypsy, because it doesn't matter in terms of the gender, because it's whatever the partner is that you've got in your eyes. It could be Carmen and Escamillo, but it also could be Carmen and Lucia de Lammermoor. So it's a wonderful step, and it needs to have character. So I don't like that change, but gender-free, I think it has some advantages. I'm going to dance the lady's role as a lady because that's how I've learned to do it.
Just finish up your thought quickly.
But if you can do it as an ensemble and gender-free, that works equally well as long as the person, the lark, or the left-hand person, knows they're the supporter, and the person on the right, the lady or the raven, knows that they have their palm the other way, and they are to be supported in their own center of gravity. Okay. And I think callers could teach this if we're going to switch roles. Very
quickly. Thank you, Linda. Take your. Is this your pen, too? Is this your pen? Mm-hmm. And your water bottle.
Sorry, I didn't see my
hand. That's all right. So Norma's up, and the next.
Yes, after Nelson is Morris.
Maybe you should wiggle.
Hello, my name is Nelson Minnick. I'm arguing basically that the decision be made by an objective survey of the membership. When framed as, quote, making the dance friendlier, less rigid, and more inclusive, who could be opposed? But does substituting lark and raven for man and woman achieve that? Or does it make the dance seem odd and eccentric and less welcoming to the average dancer? I know a number of dancers who will not attend dances called by larks and ravens. Is that more welcoming? The change was imposed initially without consulting the society's membership at large by a survey. When sheets were placed on the ticket desk for comments on the change, the comments I saw were overwhelmingly negative. The sentiment of the membership was dismissed as insensitive to the feelings of others, while the dance committee, at least members of it, claimed to be morally superior and acted as does the Supreme Court to right an injustice, as it did in the case of racial segregation.
dancers will learn to accept the decision of the dance committee. While they were elected, they did not run on a platform of larks and ravens, nor were members given the option of voting for someone who wished to preserve the traditional way of calling a dance. In my opinion, the way to solve this issue is by way of a survey of the membership, with options stated in a matter-of-fact way without any rhetorical spin. Let the dancers choose how they wish to dance. Thank you.
Well, Nelson, thank you. You're a very tough act to follow, and I think I'm going to have to cut out a lot of stuff. I don't know how this is. I'm not good with microphones.
You just talk.
Okay. 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 So I'm Morris Freiman, and I've been part of the dance world for over 50 years, and most of it here in the Baltimore, Washington area. I started as an international folk dancer, mostly Eastern European and Balkan. Performed with the Narod Balkan dancers and loved it. Starting in the early 80s, I transitioned to Contra, and I mention this point to show that I've been part of this for a very long time. I was a member of the Sunday Night Door Committee for many years, and when we had difficulties, they were quickly resolved. Not so today. In the last few years, unnecessary controversies and issues have been created that basically challenge the integrity of the dance and its participants. That's exemplified by the fact that we have this meeting. What we have here is a classic case of unnecessary solution looking for a problem. And so doing is much greater problem has been created, one threatening to divide the dance community, a community that has been blessed in avoiding such controversy until now. In this area, dance community is very welcoming. People love to come here. Guests and new people are welcomed. That's very good. So it's very distressing to find new restrictions imposed on the operation of the dance, restrictions that imply the opposite of the actions and behaviors of our community, that we are somehow unwelcome, difficult, distant. It's just not true. It's a distorted view of our dance community. To me, it's damaging to insist on dance billed as gender-free. Okay, so getting back to it, I looked through some of the letter that gets sent to callers, and it's pretty, it's very demanding. For instance, the use of larks and ravens and to avoid boys and girls, men and women. I mean, we have the hot square babes. Do they have to change their name? I mean, hot is certainly a suggestive term. Babe is in the same class as the clearly repugnant dame, doll, and chick. So, okay. I'm sorry? Okay, so basically, I like the way the dancing was. I too get confused by larks and ravens, and I don't see any real benefit to it. So I'll stop there.
Hey folks, I'm Kate Bonaccini, and I have been dancing for 27 years. Oh, and I should say I'm in favor of non-gender calling terms. I'm also a queer woman, and I should say, like, when I first started dancing when I was 5 years old, I was told about ladies and gents, and I was told they were just roles, and that's what I grew up learning. But when I come here to Glen Echo, I'm seeing that people are taking on gendered women are, people who are ladies are dancing a little bit more weakly, or a little bit more softly. People who are dancing as men are dancing really forcefully. And what's coming about is harassment on the floor. I have experienced this. I've had people tell me I'm an exciting dancer when I show up as a lady and I'm dancing a little bit more forcefully than they might otherwise expect in the line. I know that because I both lead and I follow, and I see this difference when I go up and down the line. So I'm in favor of removing these terms because I think it's leading to harassment, and I think it's leading to things on the floor that we don't necessarily want or need. I'm also, because I'm a queer woman, I've tried to recruit other LGBT members to come here, and they say no. They've tried to come, and they do not feel welcome because they think they're going to have this kind of, you know, sexualized experience, or that they're going to be harassed on the floor. And I think that's really unacceptable, especially since we're trying to recruit a younger and younger population. And I've been, you know, it's really fortunate to come in with a number of folks who welcomed me, who, you know, embraced me. And now that I'm seeing this kind of experience and reaction on the floor, I'm wondering if I'm welcome as a queer woman who has dated trans people, who's been in relationships with both men and women, and I don't know if I am. I'll be really frank. And that really, it bothers me. And I've also been someone who's been harassed on the floor. So, you know, is the solution for me to always lead? I might just do that if I show up, or I could just stop coming altogether. And I don't want to do that because I love dancing. I've been dancing for 27 years. It's a part of my life. So that's all I'm going to say. Thanks.
My name is Stephen. Of the people that have spoken so far, I think I'm the most junior dancer. I've only been dancing for a little over 2 decades. I've been a weekly dancer for over a dozen years now. I personally have served 4 years on the board for the Friday Night Dancers. I have served for 3 years on the board for FCW, including 1 year as dance chair. I have heard everything. I've talked to many people about their opinions. First thing I want to say is everything Kate just said is true. Everything Kate just said is true. I have heard those complaints. People have come to me with those complaints. They exist. And whether the call, whether the labels are gents and ladies, or whether the call is, whether the label is anything else, I don't think anything, I don't think the labels by itself will change that part of our culture, which needs to change. The idea of inclusivity has been the base upon which the contra-culture has existed for the last 40 years. Inclusivity has made people felt welcome. It makes people feel wonderful that they are, this is a place where they can be accepted as they are, who they are. And inclusivity is a problem because it allows for things to fall through the cracks. Inclusivity by itself is what allowed people that FSGW refers to as problem dancer number 2 and problem dancer number 3 to exist within our community for years because we were being inclusive and we didn't do anything about these people that were harming our community. So everyone wants inclusivity, but that means everyone has the responsibility to be aware that there are going to be people that disagree with them. Everyone shares the responsibility of understanding that we have to make sure that contra is big enough for everyone. Whether you want one change or another, everyone needs the responsibility, everyone needs to share the responsibility that everyone wants to be here and everyone should be made to feel welcome. And everyone deserves to be made to feel welcome.
So I think there are two questions here. Should we switch to gender-neutral terminology, and if so, what terms should we use? I think these are complicated and emotional issues, and they have to be addressed transparently, thoughtfully, and in a way that engages and reflects the community. I hope this discussion is a start in that direction, and let's take the time to do it carefully and without any artificial deadlines. I've been part of the DC dance community for exactly 40 years this week. The dances we do today and the way we dance them are very different from what we did 40 years ago. And that's fine that this evolution has taken place, but let's recognize we like these changes. And those changes have been good. So let's be open to other changes that might enhance the community and our enjoyment of dancing. In short, I support a transition to gender-neutral terminology because it reflects the dances and the way we dance today and because I think it will help to expand our dance community. On the other hand, I disagree with some of the objections to gender-neutral calling. I don't think it's about tradition. We've already changed so much in the way that we dance. It's really not traditional New England contra dancing. And I also disagree with the confusion argument. The reality in our community today is that we do not dance consistently according to gender roles, whether it's because of the mix of dancers in the hall or the preferences of the individual dancers. And in that context, gendered calling can be more confusing than gender-neutral calling. If the caller says, swing the lady on your right, and that person is a man or presents as a man, I think that's more confusing. So I think gender-neutral calling may actually be less confusing. With respect to the specific technology, terminology, I understand some of the objections to larks and ravens. Personally, I think more position-based terms would be better. But we're a large and influential dance community. Let's challenge our community to come up with better terms, and let's try them out. There's an evolution happening. Let's give it some time and intentionally find gender-neutral terms that we like. So last thing, one thing that has been reinforced by this discussion is that there are a variety of factors in our current dance environment that discourage new and younger dancers. Some may be related to the culture of gendered calling, but we need to address all of these to keep this community alive and thriving. And I think the gender-neutral terminology suits the way we dance and is most supportive. But let's find some common starting points and work towards something that embraces our evolving dance tradition and makes it stronger. Thank you.
So I didn't know I was actually coming to this meeting, so I'm not really prepared. Most of you know me. I'm Paul Lieberman. I've been dancing for 46 years, but it didn't really feel like community until I came to Glen Echo in Baltimore 6 years ago. And to me, the number one priority is keeping the community alive. Dance communities die. The dance that used to be on the Eastern Shore ended about 10 years ago. The dance in Charlottesville is dying. We can't assume that just because we're Glen Echo and we're great that we're going to keep having this. So I want us to do things to make sure that we keep going. I would say, I could argue that I dance on the right probably more than most guys my age. And yet, the honest truth is, most of the time, I'm on the left, and, you know, I ask women to dance more than I ask men to dance. But the fact is that I favor larks and ravens, or something like it. Larks and ravens is far from perfect. Doing a variety of things that where it people get used to the idea that if it starts with an L, it means on the left, and if it starts with an R, it means on the right, is what I favor. And I have made some non-binary friends since I started dancing a lot. And it's really important to me that they feel welcome along with people with different sexual orientations. Everybody should feel welcome. And I think that making the dance community, doing small things like this to make them feel better about our community is what will keep us going and keep us strong. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jackie Hoagland. I think some of you know that I was on the Friday Night Dance Board for 4 years, and I was president when we started really dealing with the harassment problem, and we had the big problem dancers here. So I feel like that's when I really woke up to the politics and the friendliness and the, you know, all the things, factors that go into a good contra dance. I was just kind of showing up for 35 years before that. So... But even I finally woke up. I wish to see FSGW adopt a policy of understanding that we are all humans and we all want to be heard, that people support what they help to create, that we should allow traditions to evolve the way we have for the last 35 years I've been dancing, and I'll go into that in a second, and without limits. We can't just say, today we want this, because tomorrow we might not want it. So we can't just say, this term is in or this term is out, because tomorrow that term might not be what we're talking about. I also think that we should let our callers practice their art. So that has to be a factor. There's so many factors. And then I also think we need to support callers who've been calling for 40 years and they have a hard time changing. We should love them just as much as we love the new people who are using the new terms. We tolerate. We just deal. And we say, okay, this caller has to call that way. They're calling squares. It's very difficult for them to change because they have a pattern. I don't know. All right, so we're facing a change in our traditions, but let's talk about the old traditions. Tradition is whatever was the norm when we started dancing. Right? So I started dancing. The first dance was a circle dance. It was often a mixer, two squares in a row. People sat out for half an hour if they couldn't get in the second square. Dances without a partner swing, two in a row of those. Worse, they were traditional proper dances. You should have seen the race to the top of the hall. That's why the floor is broken in the top center of the hall. And I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up. Okay, so I just want to say, how did those changes happen? Some of them we made, and some of them the rest of the country made. And I think we can all mix that all up and come up with a solution here. I personally am in favor of gender free and hope that we find better terms than larks and ravens.
Hi, folks. By way of credentials, some have recounted their credentials. My credential is that I think I know the first names of all but four or so people in the room. Ben? Robert? Okay, sorry. So it's one thing that's occurred to me is I think this is a lot about the folk process. And when has there had to, something's a little out, was, I think we're having a big policy discussion about the folk process. I think a lot of the folk process is about the artist and the participants. And I think there needs to be a lot of free rein. One of my guiding principles is, I try to say the only thing I'm intolerant of is intolerance. So I think that we're trying to balance tradition versus evolution. I'm a little concerned that there's potentially a generational divide, that that younger generations are more on one side of some of these questions and others. I think that should be taken into account. I want to urge people to keep an open mind, to sort of learn from history, how history in our broader society has dealt with the evolution of terminology and respect for others. And I think I lastly want to say that I think weight, if you're listening to people and trying to balance different people's opinions, as I have been for several years on these kinds of questions, weight should be given to, I'm just going to be a little biased here, to younger generations. I also want to single out, in my opinion, two of the wisest people in this room are Ann Fallon and Janine Smith, and they've been around for a long time, and I haven't even talked in depth to those two folks, but I would respect their opinions just because I respect them so much.
Hi, I'm Ken, and if you don't know who I am, you haven't been dancing enough. That's all I'll say about our credentials. It really stressed me out to read the comments, just because you guys are really passionate about this, and I think it's a great thing because contra dance means so much to us. You know, not just the physical dancing, but the community. So I'm a bit verklempt. And it means a lot to me, and I find it cute that you guys think that the terms will really matter that much. I think a lot of us here, we're hardcore, and we dance because we're compelled to, and if it's eggplant or squash, I'm going to be on the dance floor, and I think that's really, you know, I'm hurt by both sides saying this is going to hurt the community to change, it's going to hurt the community if we don't change. I mean, I don't... I think we should step back, and I agree with all the speakers who have talked about, you know, listening and moving slowly. And I think people are asking just to have a seat at the table, you know, just try Larks and Ravens or whatever. No, there's been a lot of talk about someone pushing down an edict and forcing things, and I don't think that's an accurate description of what's been happening. And I think we can just step back and see how that things work out. That's all I'd like to say. I'm in favor of, you know, continuing a process of asking callers to call what use the terms they want. You know, we might even, you know, just work it slowly or change the letter. I agree with some people think that there is a push in the letter to, you know, come out with an outcome we want, and there's an expectation horizon for callers. I think we can work to make it more inclusive, but I think we can work this. We all love the dance, and I think it's going to be strong. I think the state of Contra is strong. Thank you.
I don't have a lot to add. Maybe I don't have anything to add to this. I've been dancing since 2001, so I'm a relative baby, I think, to a lot of what I've heard. And I've heard a lot of really good things and a lot of compelling rationales. And what I want to express most is my appreciation for doing this. I've been in the bewildered camp, like, why is this so divisive? Why is this such a big deal? I fall in the camp of do the hard work to be inclusive. When you work with a process, a folk process that's rooted in what we call tradition, we run the risk of being very white, as we are. Being gender problematic as we've been. So let's do the hard work. It's not easy to make these changes. And let's do it in the way that I've been hearing people. There's a folk process at play here, and it's working, and it's working because we did this today. Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Duste. I began dancing here in high school and then went off to Oberlin College, and contra dancing there was a big part of all of our lives, and it was a very queer space. And we used gents and ladies, and that didn't diminish it. When I dance in New England some, I find that gents and ladies is sort of silly. It doesn't describe reality, and Larks and Ravens makes much more sense. People felt included at Oberlin because of the culture there at the dances. And Larks and Ravens and Gents Ladies didn't really affect that. It made the language make specific people much more comfortable. And let's be clear, this is not about most of the people who are here. Most of the people here, I'm guessing, are straight people, are whose gender identities matches the way they were raised. And it's not about you. That's just how it is. This is about making people who are not you feel comfortable in this space, which is incredibly gendered. And the way to do that is not necessarily to change the language, but to change the culture that it describes. If we go to Larks and Ravens, we can do that, and the words are not there, but the culture is the same. This is one of the most gendered spaces I am in my life, even though I see it as a very sort of bastion of liberal funness. The real issue that I see, which I feel like ought to be focused on instead of spending all the capital on these actual issues, which are real, including Gypsy, a real issue, but lots of capital spent, instead of addressing the one that I feel like is the one that has the real effect on the culture, which is that gendered culture, which is to say mostly the older men who are sketchy, some of them, and create an atmosphere for some people, particularly younger women, who don't want to come back. For whatever reason that is, and I think that's not an issue of specific sketchy person number one, number two, to which everybody else can say, well, I'm not either of those people. It's a general, broad, culture, which I think ought to be addressed rather than getting in the weeds of this, you know, Lark's Raven's nitty gritty.
It's going to be hard to follow up all these comments. But I've been dancing for about 20 years or so. I pretty much dance with anybody, and I dance with any role, because when I started dancing, there may not have been a gender balance in the room, and so I wanted to learn how to dance the other role because I didn't want to sit out. I just didn't want to sit out. There were communities that said, put a tie on so we know who you are. I'm like, well, I'm dancing the role that I'm dancing. It's my role. You do you, and I'll do me, and it'll be great, and we'll just have fun. Just dance. I'm in the middle of the road on the gender terms because I fundamentally understand why we want to go in that general direction where everybody feels inclusive, that it's not really biased sitting on any either side. However, I'm not a big fan of the Larks and Ravens because what I hear is Angry Birds and Laughing Birds. That's really what I hear when I hear Larks and Ravens. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not what I'm hearing. And I'm really happy that we're doing this process because I feel like this process should have been started a while ago to have this conversation, because as long as the community is together and trying to make these decisions as opposed to it coming from a top-down kind of thing, you at least get the buy-in from the community and have that conversation. Because I feel like we've been hitting this derisive moment and we've been having this conversation for a very long time, and I really just don't want to dance. I just want to dance. I don't want to deal with drama. I just want to go, I want to dance, I want to have a good time, and I will play whatever role we need to play. But that's kind of where I'm at on the whole, where the situation is.
Hi, I've been dancing for about 10 years. This is my third Contra Danza community. And I was on the board for the first one, which is in the Triangle in North Carolina. I also danced in Chicago. What I value most in Contra is the community and the dance. And I appreciate very much that we're having this conversation. I think it's important, I think inclusivity is important, but I think it's more than just cisgender versus non-cisgender people. I think it's also, as others have mentioned, it's multi-generational, and I think it's also multicultural. Where I work and where I live, I see much more diversity in both age and in race than I do in the Contra community. And I think there's much more that we can do than talk about the names that we call ourselves in the right and the left line than just that. If we want to focus on that, I think that's part of why we're getting into this divisiveness. I think if we start talking about how we really want to make this diverse and open and something that many people would like, then let's really do the work and think about that more comprehensively. Larks and Ravens, I don't mind dancing that, but I don't like the name Raven for a woman. I think it has a negative connotation, and I think there's many ways that women get negative connotations, and I don't happen to like that. I think role-free calling seems like it's something that may be worthwhile and to try at least some of the time. And I think that's all my thoughts.
Hi, my name is Michaela, and I
have something quick to say because I don't really know so much about everything that's been going on. But I think I'm one of the youngest people who's come here consistently. I came when I was 14, like every single week for like 4 years. And now I still sometimes come. And I think that I did feel very comfortable here, but I definitely think that a lot of my friends didn't want to come with me. And it's like a difficult culture to break into as a young person, especially a young woman. And I think that using non-gendered terms helps a lot because, like, when I would come with my friends and I would want to lead them and they'd want to, you know, like, if I came with my male friends and they wanted to follow because they didn't know what was going on, it sort of felt weird being called a lady, especially as, like, a 16-year-old guy. So I think using non-gendered terms is really important, especially also for non-binary people and just people, like, there's no reason why as a woman you should have to follow or why as a man you should have to lead. Like, that's just, anyone can do anything they want. And I also agree that Larks and Ravens is pretty clunky. I also went to Oberlin, and we used Larks and Ravens like halfway through, and it was pretty annoying, but also it might be worth it. I am sorry that I have not read up on the whole discussion that we've been having. I feel like leads and follows make sense. I don't know why I'm interested why that isn't more on the table, because it's non-gendered and also easier to remember, I guess, but I'm curious why that's less talked about. But yeah, I do think that switching to non-gendered language would be more inclusive for people of any age. Yeah.
We may be able to take one more, or three more people at the most. So if one more person wants to speak, we'll have space.
And then there still will be 1 minute.
Yes, then we'll have the 1 minute afterwards for those who...
Hello, I'm sorry I missed all everything. I just arrived. But I had thought about it before. And most of my life, being a tall lady, I've danced as a gent, and I never took offense. However, being called a raven is a different story. From a linguistic point of view, the raven is masculine in many languages. Le corbeau in French, the rabe in German, el cuervo in Spanish. The lark, on the other hand, is feminine. Une alouette, die lerche, una alondra. From a literary point of view, the lark is a cheerful little creature singing its heart out. On the other hand, the raven is a grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore. In a fable by Jean de La Fontaine, Le Corbeau, the raven is so conceited that he becomes the laughing stock of the fable. And that's how I grew up, you know, learning that poem every year of my life. So, linguistic and cultural references are inherent to who we are. So as a multicultural, multilingual dance community, we should not overlook language and culture. Personally, I don't like crows and ravens, and when I hear the word raven on the dance floor, I freeze. I miss my step. I get all upset, mess up the line. So I don't have fun anymore. So I'd rather be called a lady. I don't mind being a gent, but please do not use the R word. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Deborah. I've been dancing contra about 12 or 13 years, and I do all other kinds of dances, too. We are Glen Echo. We are Washington, D.C. We're the showcase of the nation. We have 8 contra dances a month here. We ought to have, at the very least, a handful of contra dances a month. We can announce it ahead. I mean, contra dances that have larks and ravens, gender-free, positional. Let's get the young people in. I travel all around to dance weekends. I'm really nervous talking right now. But I love what Penelope introduced to our community. I love it. And I want to see more of it. We can announce it ahead. Those that don't necessarily want to come on those days can choose to do other dancing. People say that's not inclusive. I disagree. I don't always like to come to certain bands, certain sound people, certain Friday nights or whatever. I choose lots of different things to do. But we are Washington, D.C. Being inclusive brings me joy, and I want to see more inclusivity here in Glen Echo, Maryland. I grew up here, my dad danced here, and I want to see it.
This always happens. Hi, everyone. You might recognize me. I'm Rebecca. I'm a musician. I don't know if we've had any musicians talk yet. I also grew up with Michaela, who just spoke before. Hi. We were both in high school together at Whitman High School, and we started a contra dance club there. I will echo what she said. It was hard to get our friends to come for a couple reasons, which reflect a lot of things that people have already said. There's sort of this idea of creepiness, especially when someone is unused to dancing with people of lots of different ages. I also have friends who I know are uncomfortable going to dances with gendered terms, and I want to play for a dance where everyone feels comfortable and that I can ask my friends to come to. So that's another thing I've been thinking about. I was at school in Massachusetts for 4 years, and I went to the Bida dance in Porter Square. They use all larks and ravens. They decide to switch after surveying the community. It totally works. People have a great time. There are lots of different ages and genders there. It seems more diverse in a lot of ways than our dances. So that's one thing I want to talk about, too, is that it does work. The last thing is that I'm really glad that the folk process is happening. I've benefited so much from it growing up here, learning how to dance here. I'm proud that I've gotten to learn from so many amazing musicians here, and I really am glad that everyone is having this conversation. So thank you.
Hi. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I just wanted to say I've only been dancing for 4 years. I'm a very young person. I started coming in high school, and I'm also going to out myself here. I am a young transgender dancer, and so words have a lot of meaning for me. And I think one of the things I've been hearing over and over again is people equating larks and ravens with gents and ladies. It's not going to change if, like, and that's part of the whole point of the change that I thought was that they weren't gendered terms anymore. But people are like, I don't want, and it's fair if people are uncomfortable with the word raven. However, the point is that it's no longer a gendered term. And so I think there is, and it's been echoed before, there is a broader community issue. Coming to dances is something I have to work myself up for. People come up to me in lines and they don't know what, like, if they're supposed to dance with me or not, because I don't conform to what they expect I'm going to look like, what they expect their partner's going to look like, whether I'm leading or following. And that's a broader issue. There's a broader issue of harassment in the community. A lot of my friends, it's very hard to get to come, especially younger female-presenting people. There's a lot of huge issues around that, and I just wanted to echo that. I think that's something we need to talk about more because it's not going to change. I've only been dancing for 3 years, but I'm not going to keep coming if it's something that continues to be such a big issue.
Okay, I want to thank all the speakers. They really just spoke from the heart and very clearly, and just thank you, everyone. We're going to be going to one-minute presentations. I think we will, if you wish to speak for 1 minute, just come up here. We'll line up here, and we'll start with a short line. I'm not sure how many people are going to be wanting to come.
This can be new speakers or...
Okay, new or former, yes. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to respond to something that was said, just we'll line up with about 5 people and keep the line at about 5 until it stops, okay? So we'll start with Linda? Okay. Okay, come on in. Here we go.
Thank you.
Oops. Hang on. That's not going to work. There we go.
The point I didn't quite get to make, and which actually touches on the harassment issue, is it is something that the callers can totally help with. When I'm dancing the role on the right, my palm is down. I'm Margot Fontaine or something like that. When I'm dancing on the left, my palm is up. I don't swish my skirt when I'm going through a hay just because I have to keep remembering, stay on the left, stay on the left, stay on the left, palm up, stay on the left, you know, until I learn that role a little better. So the gender thing is leading to harassment because people don't understand when they're turning not to injure their partner. And the caller can help by people that are learning the new role to learn it correctly. If you don't know how to do a courtesy turn on the other person, you need to learn during the dance. One move per dance would improve the entire community, would help people go in more of a circle. Most of you don't have this problem, so you don't understand. But that will help. Because the harassment is not intentional, it's through lack of knowledge in many cases.
Thank you. Anyone else here to take the floor?
I guess I'll be the last. I'm going to start with a joke. I hope at least some people get it. Hi, my name is Neil, and I'm a dancer. All right, a few people got that. All right, a few, okay. So, as you heard at the beginning, I am going on to the board, and I just want to make it clear I'm speaking for myself. I'm not going to speak to the substance of this issue. I'm hoping that some of the other board members agree with what I'm going to say, but I'm only speaking for myself. What I want to say is, I think this meeting shows, as Ken and Jane and some of the others mentioned, we have a really healthy dance community. And some people might be a little uncomfortable with the passion, but I view the passion in this room and the fact that I walked in and saw a full room of people as very, very good pieces of evidence that we have a really healthy dance and that we can expect it to continue. So I just wanted to thank all of you for your passion. I personally have found this session very helpful, and I suspect a lot of the other board members will as well, as Ben and the entire board continue to consider this issue. So thank you all very much.
Do you have one more? Okay. Do you want to come up front here?
I will, if I can make it.
Truly. Or if you're more comfortable there, that's fine.
That's fine. Okay. It's starting to work, even though I almost fell over. Okay. I almost fell over there. Cancel it off, man.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it, really. I had two final thoughts about this. One of them is about the survey. There are huge methodological problems with that, but I think there were actually more respondents to the four surveys that were mentioned earlier from last fall than there are the number of people that are here today. So I don't think it's fair to just completely dismiss it. It had huge problems, but nonetheless, it runs about somewhere in the 80% saying Lark Raven is not the solution that we should be using. The second thing is for any of the people that feel like they've been harassed or that are uncomfortable, I really hope that you will continue to speak up. If it's something I'm doing, for example, please come and talk to me. I won't like hearing it, but you won't be the first person to come and criticize me and actually cause me to change something that I'm doing, or at least try to change it, as the case may be. It has been an interesting process listening to everybody here, which is the perfect time to reach stop. Thank everybody for coming and participating.
Okay, we are, just to close this up, once again, thank you, everyone, for the listening. I was watching and people were listening very intently. I want to thank the speakers for bringing up the multiple issues involved in this, and it isn't a simple yes or no issue, and I think that came out here. And so I want to thank you all for that. I want to thank the board for being here and the dance committee members who are here. I want to remind you that you can continue to contribute ideas on the website until June 23rd. So if you're like me, it takes me a day or two to think about what I should have said and didn't. You still have a chance to do that. And then we will see where this takes us. But I think this is a really wonderful exchange to help us find the common path forward. Any last words from the board?
Thank you, everybody, for coming. It's really been a great session.
Okay. All right. Thank you.